Maybe you've done the arithmetic in your head, but 50 years ago, 50 years ago now, there was a congregation that resolved to pack up everything they had and move from downtown to the outer edges of the city. They made a hard choice. They knew that there were schools being built, that neighborhoods were developing, families were moving in way out in the Tulies, way out there in View Ridge. Man, can you imagine it? And it was a risk, and it was a move that was bold. It was an act of faith and prayer, and frankly, an act of determined resolve to follow where the mission of God seemed to be stirring. So this certain congregation 50 years ago made a decision. And that decision was not about success, because the truth is they had no idea if it would work out. That decision that they made, well, was not about money, because they didn't have any. I looked it up, and they borrowed. They were crazy behind in debt. And that decision they made was not about unity either, because half the congregation said, no, we're staying. 50 years ago, in April 1968, those folks gathered right here, in this very spot. There, they got together to worship for the very first time. It was Easter Sunday. And look around, there were no walls. And they told me at the early service that the wind was blowing and it just went right through. There was no floor either. There was nothing but construction, gravel, and mud. So they laid out sheets of plywood and set up folding chairs, and people sat there. There were no lights, no mics, no organ, just overcoats and Easter hats. You know, 50 years ago, the world was a very different kind of place. Or was it the same? I'm tempted to have you raise your hand and confess In the spring of 1968, the Everett School District was busy building a new high school. Do you remember which one it was? See, you just gave away your age, see? Actually, it was Mariner High School is what they were building back in those days. People stood in long lines down in Seattle at the movie theaters to see what? 2001, A Space Odyssey. I remember I saw that with my folks. I'll just fess up. I was 12 years old at the time. And I remember, you know, all the scenes that go like that. I got motion sick. They had to take me out. They were putting the finishing touches on the biggest building in the world in 1968. Do you know what they built inside that building? It was just weeks later that the first 747 rolled out of the big hangar doors. Do you know what the population of Everett was in 1968? Roughly. About 52,000. You could buy a house for $24,000. 50 years ago, in the spring of 1968, the world was a very different place. Or was it exactly the same? At the end of March that year, news coverage of the Vietnam War included shocking accounts of a massacre led by American troops at a place called My Lai. Hundreds of thousands of people marched in the streets all across America. They protested against elected leaders. They protested against the war, against racism, and against the gap between the rich and the poor. And then on April the 4th, 1968, in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Lorraine Motel at 6:01 p.m. on Sunday night, an assassin's bullet struck down the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Later that same evening, a candidate, Robert Kennedy by name, spoke to a crowd. He asked for calm. He asked for prayer. He asked for patience. And not months later, he himself was shot to death. Some people thought the president at the time was a hero. Others thought that there was a monster living in the White House. 50 years ago, at Easter time in 1968. A world so different. And yet, on Easter Sunday, 50 years ago today, right here, right in the spots where you're sitting, imagine it. Who was sitting there? I mean, they were on a folding chair, but who was in your spot? Can you think back? Because there, somebody stood up in the middle of it all, there amid all the turmoil and upheaval and all the disappointment and leadership. Somebody just got up. Somebody got up in the middle of all the anger and the fear, the cynicism and the heartbreak. They went to their feet and they began to open their mouth right there in a world that must have seemed as if it was on the edge of madness. You know what they said? Christ is risen. And then somebody else said, Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And after a little while, more of them started to say it. In their world, in their time, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. It was a confession of faith. It was an assertion of the truth. It was a protest against selfishness and arrogance and deceit. It was a protest against evil and death. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Pretty soon, more of them caught on, and by the time they were done, everybody had said it. The book of Mark is probably the oldest of the four Gospels, and it's the one that's sort of the least refined, the one that's the least edited, I wonder. And it ends differently than all the other ones, too. And most of the Gospels, after the resurrection, Jesus, he shows up, and he encourages and reassures the disciples, those earlier followers. They eat with him, and they hear him talk. And then he says to them things like, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. There's none of that stuff in Mark. None of it. In fact, the very last line, so they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What? That's it? What? It seems such a strange way to conclude. Or is it a brilliant way to conclude? With terror and amazement, with fear and silence. What's the writer up to? Does he want for the story to end in us? That somehow it's the reader's place to hear how it all comes. For the reader to trust in this resurrection of the dead. That in their own time and in their own place and in their own life, realize that the story is for us. I don't know if I told you this one before, but there were a couple of kids in the backyard and they were playing with the dog. And it was a good day. It was a sunny day. It was a nice day. And partway through, though, they noticed that the dog was no longer in the area, but it was in the neighbor's yard. And it was scruffing in the bushes, and the dirt was flying, and the dog seemed to be going kind of half nuts. And the two boys went over there to see what the dog was doing, and sure enough, the dog had a rabbit in his mouth. And he was shaking it back and forth. Oh, Spot, put it down. Stop it, stop it. So they looked and they realized, we got to do something. This is the neighbor's bunny. And she's out shopping and she's due back any minute. We got to do something. So these two little boys think and they get a bar of soap and a garden hose and they scrub up the poor little animal. They get mom's hair dryer and kind of, you know, fluff up the fur a little bit and carefully put him back in the niche, you know, in the... And, you know, maybe she'll come home and think that, well, he expired of natural causes. But just as they closed the latch on the little rabbit house, they heard the car coming in the driveway. So they scoot across back to their own side, half terrified. And she gets out of the car, and she walks across, and she sort of stops, and she looks into that little niche. She cocks her head and she gets up close and she opens it and her eyes go wide and she starts to scream. In fact, she even goes down to her knees and calls out to God, and it's really quite exasperating. And so finally the boys feel so bad they have to go back over and talk to the neighbor lady. She says, "Oh, please, please, you got to understand, we didn't mean to." And she looked at them and said, "I buried that rabbit 3 days ago. I've told that one before." Two thousand years ago, the world was going nuts. 50 years ago, the world was going nuts. Every morning I get up and listen to the news, and I'm pretty sure I'm going nuts. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.